So today we're going to be talking about pressing in and go till you're gone.
All right.
How you like that?
Yeah.
Anybody willing to press in and go till they're gone?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I was in a store the other day and I was there were two ladies there. One had a cane and the other was just fine. Somebody said, she's 90 and she's 80 going on something. I said, boy, they look good.
Come on now.
So I had to, you know, ask a few questions. I said, to God be the glory. She said, yes, you're right, to God be the glory.
Right.
Only God did this. And then she said, but I don't know why he still got me here. Miss Rita used to say that. You all remember Miss Rita? She used to live over in Timberlake. Pastor, I don't know why God still got me here, because he's got you here for a reason. And if it's sending an encouragement card out, if it's a smile, whatever it is, God put breath in your body. He woke you up. He didn't make a mistake. There's something for you to do, amen?
Amen?
So let's start pressing in, and let's go till we are gone. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Philippians 3, 12 through 14. I'm going to be reading from the NKJV, New King James Version. You probably got the NIV, the NLT. We probably got everything going on out there, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Some people like the Amplified Bible. That's all right. I want you to read the word. I don't know about you, but I know I have the word. I use it on my phone sometimes, but I like a paper Bible.
Right.
People say, well, you can highlight on the, what is that thing, Kindle and all that stuff, but I like the paper.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So whatever device you have, let's just go to Philippians 3, 12 through 14. This is Apostle Paul talking. I love Apostle Paul. I love to hear his stories, his testimonies. Very strong man in the faith. Amen. All right, Philippians 3 and 12, it says, not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected, but I press that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold on me. Next verse. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I got to forget those things that which are behind me, and I got to reach forward to the things that are ahead of me. And here's a sweet spot. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I love that scripture. I love that scripture. Man, he's talking about attaining some stuff, pressing in on some stuff, laying hold of something because God laid hold of him one day. He thought he was doing the right thing when he was helping stone Stephen, when he was going after Christians who said Jesus Christ was our Lord and Savior. He thought he was doing a good thing. How many thought you were doing a good thing, but it wasn't a godly thing? Have y'all been there? I've been there doing stuff, just busy doing stuff. There's a saying I heard someone say on the radio years ago. He said, what lasting value is a good day or doing a good thing if it's not a godly thing?
All right.
So you need to check and see what you're doing. Some people use that, I'm doing good, but I'm doing good. I'm a good person. But are you godly? Is it a godly thing that you're doing? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Paul is talking about, I haven't arrived yet. I've made some mistakes in life. I may have a degree here, a degree there. I may be smart here. But if I don't have Christ, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. So he says, I'm going to lay hold of Jesus Christ because he's changed my life. Because one day Jesus Christ laid hold of me.
Yes.
Do you remember the day when God laid hold of you?
Yes.
Oh, man. I hope you haven't slowed down. Oh, it got quiet.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we got to press on. We got to press on. We have to press on. Verse 13, he's talking about apprehended. God apprehended him. Apprehend means he got arrested. In God's way, he arrested him and said, hey, 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 buddy, you're going down the wrong road. And I'm so glad that our God allows U-turns. When we're going the wrong direction, he just don't keep like, I'm done with you. Nope, you messed up. But God allows U-turns. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. Man, he wants to see all of us in his kingdom. Don't you know that?
Yes.
Many sheep I have that are even not of this fold, and he wants them brought in.
Yes.
I love that about him. He also talks about we've got to forget the mistakes we made in life.
Yes.
We got to forget about all that stuff. It's done. We can't change it. We've got to focus on Jesus Christ and his call on our lives. Amen. He has a victorious life for us to live. And no, you can't do it within yourself. Some of you thinking, but, you know, I don't have this and I don't. Whatever God calls you to do, he equips you. But that's when faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. We have to be people of faith. His word says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So when God has a call on your life and Satan tries to convict you and tell you, you know what you used to do. You know who you are. They know you who you are. You have to say, get thee behind me. And somebody else said, don't push. But anyway, we have to go forward in the things of God because he wants us to forget those things. Now, I'm not saying you can just literally blot everything out of your mind that ever happened to you. But there comes a time in your life, this kind of forgetting means that I'm not going to let anything get in my way or where God wants to take me. Don't let anything that has happened in your life keep you, keep holding you back from what God has called you to do. He has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29 tells us that. I know the plans that I have for you. It didn't say you don't have a plan now because you messed up. No, God still has a plan for your life, regardless of what it is. Amen? So Paul said, I'm going to forget those things that are behind me. God has made a change in my life. I've accepted that change in my life, and I'm going to go till I'm gone. And that's exactly what he did. Verse 14, it says, I'm going to press toward that mark. He had his eyes on the goal, on a higher calling, on Christ Jesus, and he says, I'm going for the prize. I'm going for my reward. I'm going to walk in my calling. I'm going to do exactly what God intended for me to do. The day he apprehended me on the Damascus Road, he blinded me and then opened my eyes again. He's given me another chance, another opportunity. I am going to go for it, amen? And that upward call is a victorious life in Christ Jesus. How many want a victorious life? Do y'all really want a victorious life in him? Do you know that, you know, your life might be pretty good right now, but it's nothing compared to where God wants to take you. It is nothing compared to what God, where he really wants to take you. You think you're living pretty good right now. Eyes cannot see. Ears cannot hear. You don't know the things that God has planned for you unless you just say, Lord, you surrender your life to him. And say, Lord, you do it. You do it for me. Whatever it is you want me to do, I know you're going to equip me to do it. Amen. So I want to live a victorious life in him. But to do that, we're going to have to take off some stuff, okay? I've got one more verse I want to read. Well, one right now I want to read to you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through verse 27. And this is, I'm reading from the NLT, okay? I think he may have the New King James Version up there. No, he has the NIV up there. Okay. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs? Everyone runs in a race. But only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. We're talking about an earthly prize now. But we do it. Say, I do it.
I do it
for the eternal prize. For the eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing, but I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. We've got to start running just like a marathon runner. Now, the reason Paul gives an analogy of a runner because back in Greece in those days, running was a really, really important sport. It was just one of those sports that they loved to see, chariot racing and running. And so he uses that analogy so that we are able to relate to what he's saying in Scripture. And so he's comparing the runner or a marathon runner to a Christian run. I think I got a picture of a marathon runner up there. Is he up there? Is he up there? Is that your pastor? Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, a couple years ago, in 2015, is that a pretty good picture? That's a pretty good picture. He was running, you all. 26.22 miles. Now, some of y'all don't even want to walk a mile. But we have, most of our lives, we've done some kind of exercise. It's just one of the things God has blessed us to do, because do you know how important it is to take care of your body? Amen. And I tell my kids, even young people now who are eating all this stuff and not exercise, they're just going to catch up with you one day. But it's for all of us. Exercise and take care of your body. You only get one. Amen. You only get one. So take care of your body. But anyway, he decided he wanted to run a marathon. Now, granted, we've done a couple of 10Ks. Which is, help me out, Leanne, 6.2 miles. We've done a couple of those. And that was enough for me. Because it takes some training. Physical training. You have to get up early in the morning and get out there. Hopefully before the sun breaks. Even if the sun's not out, it's still not easy. You gotta buffet your body, which means you've got to condition and refuse to eat some things if you want to finish the race, okay? You can't put everything in your body when you have a goal in mind of finishing the race. You got to get plenty of sleep. How many know how important sleep is? Okay? This is a health class for you real quick, okay? Get some of you all going. It's so important to take care of our bodies, but you just can't eat anything. You've got to rest. You've got to exercise. You've got to get out there. Now, to prepare for his 26.22 miles, he didn't go out and run that every day, but he did get at least up to 15 or 17 miles a day in running just so that he could finish the 26.22 mile run. Amen. Now, it's not all about the timing, but it's about the endurance. All right. It's about the finish. Yeah. And when you finish well, that's a victorious feeling. Right. Likewise in the Christian run, amen? God wants us to do everything we need to do in this Christian run, amen? We also have to push back our plates, which is called what? Oh, yeah, I said that real long. Fasting. Because we know we like to feed that flesh, don't we? But when I am fasting and when I do have the urge to eat, I have to say, Lord, let me push that back and let me eat your word. Right. Amen? Amen? So there's some training that needs to go on in the spiritual run. Amen. You have to be deliberate in your Bible study, very intentional in your study, very intentional in your fellowship, and then watch who you're fellowshipping with. Right. Amen? Right. You've got to watch. You've got to get in prayer. Amen? Amen? You've got to get in some worship and worship God. There are some things spiritually, that you need to do if you want to finish this run. Amen? Amen? So God wants us to get into the flow, just like an athlete or just like a marathon runner in our spiritual life, and condition ourselves. And not saying, as I said earlier, you're going to have some bumps in life. You are going to have some butts in life. But we are to keep our eyes focused on him. Amen. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he is the one that is going to see us through. Amen? Amen. Now, some of you all, I want you to know again, all of you all have a calling. All of us have a calling in life, okay? We have a calling in life. Now, sometimes people get a calling mixed up with a job. Now, jobs are good because we need jobs, amen? Amen. We need jobs. But I read this, it says, having to do something. A job is something we have to do. Having to do something to make money. That's a job. But a calling is getting to do something and making an impact. Amen. I'll say that again. A job, having to do something. You know you got to go in, you got to punch the clock, or whatever they tell you you got to do, you got to do on the job. And I pray that you get a paycheck. Amen? But a calling is getting to do something. That's exciting when you get to do what you were created to do. That's a sweet spot, to get to do what you're created to do And then you're making an impact. You're making a change in somebody's life while you're doing it. I thank and praise God that I've had the opportunity to mentor young women, many young women in my lifetime. And I get to do that, get to make an impact. Because somebody made an impact in my life. Somebody took time to minister to me and to my sisters and to my other friends when we were young women in Christ. Amen? So that's very important. Who are you mentoring? Whose life are you impacting? He's called me to a life of prayer, which I never thought that I would be here every morning at 6:30 a.m. I would say, I could stay in my bed and pray, God. You know, y'all wanted the comfortable spot, the sweet spot, just staying at home. And the Lord said, no. I thank God for the Holy Spirit that convicts us. Yes. Not condemns. Yes. Satan condemns, but the Holy Spirit convicts. So I thank God that as you put your names, and we say so many times, as you fill out your offering envelope, please put your prayer request down. Because myself, Brenda, Adeline, and a couple others come in, Onethia, and different ones are coming in. 6:30 a.m., and we are praying for all of your needs. If you have coworkers who are going through things, let them know. If you're putting their name down there, we are praying for them in the morning. And I thank God for that call because it's a sweet spot in my life right now. 6:30 a.m., I never would have thought it to have to put my alarm at 6 o'clock every morning to get here, but I love it. It's like clockwork now. Amen? Amen. Soul winning summer. That's another thing you've been hearing a lot about, and you're going to hear more about, and we're going to get out there. As I said earlier, Pastor said, there's more power in the pews than in the pulpit. Many hands make light work. The mission field is where? Out there. So whatever God has called you to do, make sure you're doing it. Amen. Hebrews 12 and 1. Let's go there. Are you there? Okay. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, you know what? When God calls you to do something, he puts witnesses there. He lets you know that somebody else did, and I'm not asking you to do something that can't be done. So that great cloud of witnesses, as you read through the book of Hebrews, you can see a hall of faith there. People who have gone through things and they've walked by faith, amen? So when God calls you to do something and you're not sure about it, read Hebrews, okay? But it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with, it didn't say walk with endurance, but let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Think about the race that's set before you, amen? God has some things in store for you. He has a race for you. Now, there's a difference. Let me read this first. There was a lady who was in the Boston Marathon years ago. Remember the big bombing that happened in the marathon in Boston? This is what she said. She said, life can feel like a race with twists and turns, uphill climbs, downward descents, long stretches of the highway. But from the big explosion that day to the monotonous and quiet ones, stories of endurance, faith, and trust should inspire you and should inspire us to press on and to never give up as you run the race of life. There are so many people who were in that bombing, and they did not let that stop them from racing again and again and again. In this Christian run, you're going to have some obstacles. You're going to have some upwards and some downwards, amen, some twists and some turns. Some, what was that about, God? Why do I have to go through that, God? When I ask that question, God says, why not? But we are going to have some tests and trials in our life. But God is calling us to continue to press on. He's continued to tell us to lay off everything that keeps us from running our race. Now, I wore this attire today because I was talking about athletes and running and exercising and putting on the right thing. Now, if I was actually really going to run, I wouldn't have these cute little shoes on. These are just, what are they? All-Stars. Converse. This is not what I would wear. I would wear some running shoes because I know I want to finish the race. Those are not going to help me finish the race. So, see if I can do this. I put on my running shoes because I want to finish the race, and I don't want any distractions. I want to make sure, and I wear them way before the race. I prepare myself. I'm not going to wear some new shoes to the race because they need to be broken in. That's a hint for the all those who put on some and think they're going to do something. So you put on what you need to put on, lace them up good. How many times do you tell your kids to lace them up twice, or you show them that double knot or whatever you need to show them so they don't trip over their feet? But you got to be serious. If you really want to finish the race, you've got to put on and buy the right equipment, okay? It talks about he had to take off some things. I cannot run in this hot jacket, and it is hot up here in this thing. So you put on something lighter, amen, if you're going to run the race. You got to change. You got to change your attire naturally. Spiritually, you got to do the same thing. You got to take off some stuff. You got to get out of the company of those who want to be negative all the time. He want to tell you, you can't do that. Why are you doing that? You at the altar again? Can't you get over that? Don't you get it? Because I used to be one of those people. When the people would come to the altar and they would come for the fourth and fifth time, I was like, Lord, to myself, don't they get it? They hear again, and the Lord convicted me. Shut up. Really, we can do that as people. We do that. We look at people and go, ain't that a shame? Don't they get it? But I am so glad that God doesn't say that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we got to lay aside so many things. And that's one reason why I put all of these different weights up here. I put physical weights, real weights, and then I put some weights up here that we can relate to. And some of them I didn't put up here as I was thinking. I said, there are some secret weights that some of us have. There's pornography that I didn't put up there. There's gambling that I didn't put up there. Oh, the list can go on, and I'm sure you all see some things up there. There's some weights you may have on you that aren't even up there. But guess who does know? God knows. God knows. Tyreek, come here. It's Youth Sunday, and I wanted Tyreek to share. And I asked Tyreek, gave him the scripture, and I said, Tyreek, share with the congregation or with some of the younger people, what things are our young people struggling with right now? What are some of the weights? Tell them who you are. You're at Southeast High School.
I'll get there. First off, I want to say good morning, everybody. Y'all look good. I mean, y'all do look good. Don't get me wrong. Okay.
Okay.
Say the question again.
Okay. You're going to be sharing. You're a sophomore in high school. Did you say that? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So what are some of the weights? And I'll put some titles up here, some things we struggle with in life, okay? Do any of the young people struggle with any of these things, or can you give us maybe one or two weights that as a young person in high school that you struggle with, or you know some of your peers struggle with?
Okay? Well, with this generation, I'm pretty sure that most of us struggle with all these things up here. No offense to anybody, but this one right here, I don't get jiggy with this right here.
Tell them what it is.
I was told earlier what this stands for,
okay.
But you know, I forgot. But I know what that G stands for right there. So I don't got nothing against that.
It says LGBTQ. Talking about gender identity.
But with this generation, I feel like we go through a lot, and it's a lot that goes on in the predicaments and the environments that we are all in, and I go to a pretty decent school. We deal with quite a few things there. My freshman year, we had, it was awful. I feel like the whole school was living worldly. But this year, you know, I feel like it kind of slowed down, but the generation, it got a little bit better. And, you know, you got people at home that deal with certain things and they bring it into the school and it calls your Christian friends, or even if you don't got Christian friends, regular friends to act a certain way. If that makes sense. But I feel like one of the things that we most struggle with that keep us away from paying attention to God is social media. Ooh, goodness.
Okay, explain that. Same thing you said this morning.
Social media. Okay, let's put it this way. Y'all kind of advance, and I say that for like the older people, but I don't want to say elders, so I just say advance. So let's put it this way, for my generation, the youth, let's say it's a Friday, and you know it's a party Saturday, and you know you probably can't go to that party, so you got Snapchat, and you know people that go to that party that Saturday, they're going to put some things on that Snapchat that you want to check out. And you tell yourself, okay, Saturday, I want to read my Bible. I want to spend time with God. But you know it's that party. And you know it's going to be some things on there. So sometimes you might want to get on Snapchat and check some things out, see some things before you get it right with God and go read your word.
So Snapchat is not just words, it's pictures too?
Snapchat.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Educate me.
So,
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I had so much other stuff to say first service, but it's like now it's all these people, all these youth. I can't get my thoughts together.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So you gave a good analogy talking about going to the party and you really want to spend some time with Jesus, but sometimes the weight of trying to get to the party, flesh wants to go and do what the spirit is wrestling with. So your spirit is saying, no, you need to stay and spend some time with God. God wants to speak to you. You want to have a stronger walk with him. But then your peers and what's going on out there in the world or what your school friends are doing at their party, and don't tell them what they're doing at that party. So that kind of draws you. So you have to be careful in that area with social media. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. And I feel like in this generation, Satan plays a big role.
What does?
Satan.
Satan.
I feel like he plays a big role because a lot of times we try to focus on certain things and we plan to do it this certain way. And you know, you try to add God in there and you always put him first. But the enemy doesn't like that. So when you plan on doing something good, especially when it has something to do with the Lord, he tries his best to stop that. So you can't do that and spend time with him.
All right. So I don't know if you all can see some of these. These are the signs represent weights that we carry around spiritually in our lives that impedes us or keeps us from doing what God has called us to do. It keeps us from running the race that we should be running. Amen? Anybody been there? Can you think of some weights in your life right now? I can think of some weights. I mean, one I dealt with was overspending. Man, I love the mall. Had three boys. They were little. Boy, we would get everything done on Friday. The house would be clean. Get them all ready, and off to the mall I go. And all I needed was a little cash, a credit card, and a checkbook. I had three because that way, if I bought a $50 dress, I would put $25 on the credit card. So much on the cash and so much for... I mean, you figure out how to do stuff when you want stuff, and you know you shouldn't be spending money. Because how many of us know that sometimes we spend money on things we don't have in the first place, on things we don't need to impress people we don't know? I'll say it again. We spend money we don't have to buy things that we don't need to impress people that we don't even know. So I've been there, the overspending part. The unhealthy eating, food choices. And I don't know if I got to that scripture if I said it, but sometimes we have to push away things or get things out of sight, out of mind, and be careful and know your triggers. Know the things that are weights in your life. Yes. I gave an analogy earlier about, and this may seem elementary to some people, but candy bars. I remember the times I would stop at a gas station or whatever, and I would get a large king-size candy bar. But I knew I would not eat the whole thing, so I would take a bite, and sometimes I would contemplate sitting it on the seat, but then I knew I would go back to it, so I would throw it out the window. To me, that made me think about what Paul was saying. To forget things, we have to not just push them to the side, but we have to get them out of sight, move them out of the way. Have anybody ever have to do that sometimes? Good analogy, good analogy. All right. Anything else? Anger. How many are being caught up in anger, the weight of anger? Man, you so angry, you so mad, you can't see straight. And I think I can use this. One time, Pastor years ago got up and let the congregation know how he was angry or upset or had unforgiveness in his heart when it came to something his mom had did. But when the Lord, the Holy Spirit, convicted him of that, he got free of that. That's one thing the Holy Spirit does, is it doesn't condemn us. It convicts us and shows us, you don't need to do that. You need to let that go. Now, Satan and the other ways, he condemns us. You may do something wrong, and he will hold it over your head and tell you why you can't do this, because this is who you are. That's what you did. That is not who you are. Amen? So there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. And I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit convicts us. Convicts us of our weights. How many have had bad attitudes or know people with bad attitudes? And those are weights on you. People, have you been around a person that just negative, negative, negative? They can't ever say anything positive. They're always disgruntled about something. Those are weights. Those are things that are keeping them from doing what God has called them to do. Low self-esteem. Has anybody ever dealt with low self-esteem? You ever dealt with workaholic, trying to get possessions, materialisms, and the stuff is actually possessing you. Because the more you have, the more you got to work to keep what you got. Anything else? Unhealthy eating habits. I think we talked about that. Substance abuse, pride, self-righteousness, fears, letting fear grip you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, people. As I said it all, I'll say it again. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Satan wants to keep you entrapped, in bondage, fearful. Whatever God has called you to do or given you to do, he will equip you to do it. You don't have to worry about self trying to do it. That's what we mess up at, trying to work at our own salvation or do things in our own strength. I can only do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So an analogy here is Tyreek's going to put on this book bag. We're going to see how much weight he can carry. Now, I'm going to put a little weight on him. And sometimes with a little weight, we can get only so far. But when we keep adding different weights and different things in our lives, it becomes difficult for us to operate physically and spiritually. Amen? Amen. So we're going to put some fear on him.
I'm not in shape, and I ain't out of shape.
What did you say?
I'm not in shape, and I ain't out of shape, but I'm go ahead. Continue.
All right, we're going to put this 6-pounder on. Is that enough weight? Keep going, he said. How about some low self-esteem? How about wrong choices you made? Oh, I should have, I could have, I would have. But we put all this on, eventually, we're not going to be able to walk in Christ. Our walk is going to be crooked. Our walk is not going to be a testimony for others because we got so much on us. We are the church. We are the eyes and ears of Jesus. They're waiting. They look to the church for answers. Amen. For you. Amen. But if we are too bound up and we have too much weight on us, it's hard to completely serve the Lord. But when we ask God, the Holy Spirit, that is our helper, to Father, take these weights off me. Father, I want to do your will. Not my will, but your will be done, God. Not my way, but I should have let him walk. You didn't walk very far, Tyreek. Too much weight? Too much weight? Yes, you're supposed to say yes. But God does not want to see his people bound up. He wants us to be free. Amen. My challenge for you is to, as Paul said, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. Then you can run. Then you can run this. That's right, run. Thank you. Thank you, Tyreek. You can run this race. Amen? Give Tyreek a hand. Give Tyreek a hand. That wasn't quite a run. But as I said earlier, thank you. As I said earlier, Satan wants to ensnare us. He wants to sift us as wheat. Thank you, Tyreek. But we want to run this race, and the only way we can run this race is to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Amen? Not too long ago, I was at a meeting, and the guy gave an illustration of how important it is to not look at our circumstances, not look at our past, not look at the weights in our lives, but we have to fix our eyes on who? On Jesus. So he did this analogy. He said, if I'm looking at Jesus, I can walk this race and I can balance my life. But if I'm looking at my circumstances, Lord, I did this. Lord, I can't do that. They're going to talk about me, God. But Jesus, I can do all things through Christ. Lord, I know you can help me, God. I don't have to go back there, God. I don't have to say what I want to say, God, because you're there helping me. I'm keeping my eyes on you. I'm fixing my eyes on you as you stand. Hallelujah. As you stand. Hallelujah. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. This lessens our load, you all. You don't have to carry all that stuff. He's a burden bearer. Hallelujah. Life is so much lighter in him. He has the answer to every problem in your life. They sang a song earlier. There's power. What was that song? In the name of Jesus. Your great name. And she said, King Jesus. Can you play that? There's power in the name.
Power in the name of Jesus.
Is there power in the name of Jesus?
Power in the name.
What else is there in the name of Jesus?
There is
healing in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
Healing in the
What do you need in Jesus?
There is peace in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Peace in the name.
There's peace in the name of Jesus.
There is joy in the name.
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Joy in the name.
I don't care what the circumstance is.
There is love in the name.
Here's your answer. This is your answer. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
There is power in the name.
I want to take this opportunity. You can keep playing and sing low. I like visual aids because they stick in your mind. I pray that I've said something that God gave me, blesses you and changes your life on today. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. We don't ever want to come in here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and go home the same way. It's time to take off those weights, bring them to the altar, let someone know, let someone pray with you, and ask our elders and ministers to come up at this time. If you know that you've got some weights, some things that are keeping you from walking the way that God has intended you and purposed you to walk, I invite you to come so that we can pray. And if you don't want anybody to pray with you, you can kneel at the altar yourself. That's the most important thing, that you bring it to the altar. Amen. I don't know what your weight might be. I don't have to know, but God already knows it. And so we're going to pray. And those who are watching online or maybe looking at this online, we are praying for you too. I don't know what your weight may be. It may be one of those weights up there, and it may be something that no one knows about. But that's not God's best for us. Amen. I want to make an impact in somebody's life, and I pray you want to make an impact in somebody's life.